Atop Zendikar's great cliffs, with Sorrel blades slicing the wind, stands a lone figure, a sole survivor of cataclysm, unleashed by the awakened Eldrazi Titans, whose devastation threatens the entire plain. His dauntless character and firm heart are unmoved by the dread, fear, and hopelessness of the Eldrazi terror. When first we meet the planeswalker Gideon Jura, he is an exemplar of justice, an invincible warrior that thinks not of his own safety, but how he can best safeguard the downtrodden. But this outward facade hides a moving story of one who had lost faith, lost friends and hope, and struggled over years and over planes to recover the guiding light of his inward character. This is the tale of Kithian Iora of Akros, his transformation into legendary Gideon Jura, and his ultimate decision in death's crucible. Gideon Jura is a human planeswalker from the Greek-inspired plane of Theros, where faith strengthens and belief transforms reality. With a first appearance in the original Zendikar block, Gideon's wide-aligned mana association hasn't deterred or been joined by another in all eight of his printings, which hints at a certainty of self, an unyielding character. Jura channels white mana in the form of hieromancy, or law magic, to bind foes and grant order to the worlds he visits. But far greater than his mystical prowess is Gideon's physical might and martial genius. The man who wades into chaos and combat without reserve and delivers justice upon the wicked, adorned in his glistening armor and wielding his iconic weapon of choice. The whip-like, many-bladed Sorrel attached to his bracer, which we can see in the art of many of his cards. With a wide frame and muscular physique, Jura is a dominating presence. Even in hand-to-hand combat does he defeat enemies of justice. Perhaps Jura's greatest weapon of all lies in his invulnerability. Hieromancy weaves thick flows of pure white mana into unbreakable chains that deflect nearly all onslaughts and protect Gideon on the battlefield. His invulnerability is represented in the indestructible mechanic that appears on his planeswalker cards, or else in his ability to prevent damage. With Sorrel, with corded muscles, with impenetrable defenses, Gideon Jura alone sways the outcome of countless conflicts, and marshals heroes to duty's call. The man's philosophy is shaped largely by his color alignment, and Gideon shares in many white mana ideals. He believes order is the key to community, the equalizer of society, and that he is a weapon of justice aimed at evil exploiting innocence or downtrodden, a belief perhaps fashioned by the dark remorse of past trauma. Jura is also a capable leader whose natural charisma wins over many warriors. His skill allows Gideon to fly into the fray and lead by example. He inspires those around him with heroic deeds and earns their trust, which we hear in the flavor text of Companion of the Trials. The fiercest loyalties are earned in battle. Jura is also a proponent of combined arms, and that through unified might can greater good be achieved than in isolation, a sentiment shared by white mana's solidarity and legions of soldiers. This notion is best exemplified in his ability not only to lead, but to guide as a general does the troops in his charge, brilliantly highlighted in the card Smite the Monstrous, the flavor text of which reads, "After watching the corps in battle, Gideon understood the difference between working together and working as one." Though not completely won over to it, Gideon shared in some red mana beliefs and possessed a fiery zeal for justice, the flames of which weren't so easily doused. He worked alongside the red and white aligned Boros Legion of Ravnica, but ultimately saw how red's passion might lead to impetuous action, moral dogma, and unpredictability. This conflicted greatly with Gideon's hieromantic tendencies. How is it that this warrior mage became a champion for the innocent across the multiverse, the founding member of the planeswalking league known as the Gatewatch, and confronted the malevolent elder dragon Nicol Bolas in Ravnica's War of the Spark? To understand his person, we must understand Gideon's story, a tale that begins in his youth on the idyllic plain of Theros. Gideon Jura is born Kithian Iora in the bustling polis of Akros on the Greek-inspired plain of Theros. Here, myth is made manifest and belief carries weight. Therans as a whole, and Acroans in particular, are obsessed with glory. They undertake great deeds and heroic acts worthy of legend in hopes of attracting the immortal eye of their fickle gods and earning a place within the afterlife's decorated realm of Elysia. It's Acroan ferocity in battle and pursuit of renown that likely color the young Kithian's outlook, inspire his actions, and instill a strong character. But from an early age, Iora is orphaned and forced to fend for himself in the filthy, cramped city streets. Here, he falls in with a gang of local vagrants whose own adversity have turned them to lives of petty crime. Within this group of youngsters, Kithian learns the significance of cooperation, communication, and companionship. The white man ideals he will later embody are first embraced on the streets of Akros. As Iora travels with the group, his charisma and quick wit soon earn him both the respect of the other members and their loyalty. With their own harsh upbringings in mind, the band soon turns to stealing from the rich and distributing to the poor. This we hear in the sentiment of Kithian's irregulars. Kithian and his irregulars worked outside the law to bring justice to the streets of Akros. Iora is made into a robber prince and lauded as a savior amongst the less fortunate. But after a time, the youth is bested, caught, and thrown into the great prison fortress of Akros, administered by the castellan and prison warden Hyksos. Hyksos is stern, but he sees great potential in Iora, a budding heroism and selflessness that need only be molded into something more. The warden is also a master of hieromancy, the magic of law and order. He takes Kithian under his wing, teaches the boy of combat, of hieromancy, of mastering his passionate emotion to touch the clarity offered in order. For many years, Kithian learns from Hyksos. We hear his words of wisdom and admonition in cards like Grasp of the Hieromancer and Suppression Bonds. There is power in abandon, but far more in control. And a master of hieromancy can see the advantage in any scenario. Iora's skills are tested when fell beasts attack the fortress. Hyksos offers freedom to any prisoner willing to fight in its defense, and Iora jumps at the opportunity to not only break his chains, but demonstrate his prowess. Iora rallies prisoners and organizes his irregulars like a marshal on the battlefield, which we see in the art of the card, Kithian's tactics. With his hieromancy and dauntless spirit, Kithian wins the day for Akros. His actions earn him his independence and something more beside: the notice of Heliod, god of the sun. Iora proved his courage in battle and his skill with a blade. For this, he is made Heliod's champion. The god requests Kithian soon confront a far greater threat: a titan of the underworld sent forth by the black-aligned god Erebos. Again, Kithian coordinates with his irregulars, and again they win victory on the field. But the yearning for glory, the desire for renown, compels Iora to confront a god, and he launches Heliod's spear at Erebos. Cataclysm is born of this rashness. Erebos deflects the spear with a wave and sends it careening into Kithian's troops. In an instant, Iora's friends, his companions and family, are all dead, and as the sole survivor, he is isolated in his misery. Such recklessness and anguish is illustrated in the card Tragic Arrogance. The spear thrown by Kithian's own hand was the weapon that felled his friends. The trauma shatters Kithian's heart and ignites a latent planeswalker spark held deep within. The life he knew is destroyed. Iora planeswalks blindly into the multiverse and lands on Bant, the white, blue, and green aligned shard of Alara. He leaves his identity and memories behind in disgusted self-reproach. Kithian Eora is dead. The young man now claims the name Gideon Jura. Bant is a land of cultivated beauty, of rigid structure, and of noble sacrifice. Its great city-states are defended by knights and squires who would gladly die for the endurance of their peoples. It's exactly the climate Jura needs to calm the raging storm within and cast light into the festering darkness of his mind, his failure still a fresh wound. He learns to temper his emotion. He devours tutorials in knighthood and continues to hone his budding hieromancy. We see Gideon's apprenticeship in Knight of the Pilgrim's Road, the text of which is a profound moral lesson. To be a knight, Gideon, is to be the shield for the meek against the cruel. And we're then witness to his acceptance as a knight of Bant as he rides atop a majestic litau and defends the nations against interlopers, illustrated in the card's swift reckoning. Jura's time on Bant is formative to his notions about law, justice, and community, as well as his relentless defense of the meek. But he is soon drawn to the plain of Regatha, with rumors of a font of pure white mana housed within a temple keep and defended by the mysterious order of Heliod, not to be confused with Heliod, god of Theros. Gideon's wish to study the purifying fire, purported to burn the very soul of those who pass it and lay bare all sin, leads him into the path of red-aligned planeswalker Chandra Nalar. The Order of Heliod's leader tasks Gideon with tracking and returning the pyromancer to their custody, granting access to the fire as recompense. As Jura follows young Nalar through the blind eternities and across multiple planes, he sees within her someone impetuous and spirited, but with a pure heart, and works hard to keep her from harm. The pair fight in tandem through various trials before they eventually return to Regatha, where the Order's true intent is revealed. They deceived Gideon and wished to use the purifying fire on Chandra so that they might take her spark and powers as a planeswalker. Immense guilt spurs Gideon to action, and he discovers a way Nalar might pass through the fire unscathed. With power and life intact, she proceeds to burn down the keep, destroy the Order, and before planeswalking, warns Gideon against placing his faith in organizations of oppressive cruelty. Jura merely states that their paths will cross once more. But little does he know the gravity of those circumstances. Gideon next appears on Zendikar, a wild plain of unrestrained mana whose landscape is frequently upended by rampaging magical energies known collectively as the Royal. For reasons unknown, thoughts of Chandra Nalar fester and a creeping anxiety about her well-being compels him to follow her trail, which leads to the remote mountains of Akum. Gideon rests in the frontier settlement of Fort Kef. Tales soon trickle from travelers of bizarre occurrences, erratic, and of grotesque horrors slinking through the darkness. These are the first shudders and signs that the rapacious Eldrazi titans, long held in stasis beneath the land, are emerging from their dormancy. Gideon knows not that Chandra is one of three planeswalkers complicit in awakening the Eldrazi from within Akum's Eye of Ugin. Without warning, Fort Kef, and indeed all of Zendikar, is overwhelmed by the Titan's proliferating broods of Eldrazi drones. Gideon jumps to action. He uses his skill to lead the fort in a valiant defense. His Surl slices, his hieromancy binds or obliterates. He gives the Zendikari hope. With staggering losses, Kef is ultimately victorious, illustrated in the card Near-Death Experience. But all joy and elation is snuffed with the ominous, stifling silence that heralds the coming of Emrakul. Her aura shatters minds and destroys hope, but Gideon's unconquerable inner strength sees him stand defiantly against her. For this fight, however, he is outmatched, and he leaves Zendikar momentarily to seek allies. Jiren knows he'll need aid if he is to save the plane from consuming Eldrazi hunger. Ravnica, the plane-wide city of guilds, is rumored to house the headquarters of an interplanar organization that could offer the assistance Gideon seeks. He instead finds a plane on the brink of war as tempers between guilds are stoked and the binding order of the Guild Pact is in hopeless disarray. The planeswalker is met with a difficult decision, for he knows time works against Zendikar, but neither can he refuse to act in Ravnica's defense as devastating war looms. He believes the red and white aligned Boros Legion, the guild best apt to control the masses and coordinate compromise, and Gideon shares in their passion for orderly justice, if not their zeal for bloodshed. We hear the champion of justice argue with the angelic warleader Aurelia in the flavor text of Renounce the Guilds. Scores will die in the name of peace. That is what you call compromise? And also the wisdom he has gained on many travels in the flavor text of Martial Glory. Yes, Boros tactics are unparalleled, but when your comrades are dying around you, inner strength must carry the day. As Ravnica's guilds prepare to run the Dragon's Maze and restore the powers of the Guild Pact, Gideon briefly returns to Zendikar. Here, he's met with the horrors of war against the Eldrazi, as many settlements and continents are ravaged. But he also gains insight into Zendikar's Stone Hedron network and its potential use against the Titans. This ancient matrix of stonework travels the plane's ley lines and might be used to channel their impressive power. Who he needs is an expert in ley lines and arcane wisdom. Back on Ravnica, Jura approaches such a person in the blue-aligned illusionist and telepath, Jace Bellerin, one of the three planeswalkers responsible alongside Chandra for unleashing Zendikar's doom in the Eye of Ugin. Gideon uses Bellerin's guilt to persuade the walker to join him, but ultimately fails in recruiting Chandra. The pair journey to Zendikar, and as Jace scrutinizes the Hedron network for clues, Gideon marshals the allies of Zendikar in an assault to recapture the destroyed settlement of Seagate. What begins as a haggard and ragtag band of survivors quickly transforms into a seething army of allies, all rallied beneath Gideon's banner, highlighting his great leadership and cunning. From all continents and walks of life, embittered enemies are turned to staunch companions as Jura leads the Zendikari in a fight for survival. Their efforts are coordinated at the Battle of Seagate, which we see illustrated in cards like Lead by Example and Shoulder to Shoulder, the flavor text of which reads, "Seagate may have fallen, but we still stand. We still fight." Jura and Bellerin are assisted by fellow planeswalkers Kiora, who commands Benthic Beasts, and Nissa, a Zendikari native and elementalist. As the Eldrazi titan Ulamog approaches Seagate, the walkers launch their trap. Gideon holds waves of spawn at bay, while Jace and Nissa align, then activate the Hedron network and isolate Ulamog in stasis. Their victory is short-lived as the demon planeswalker Obnixilus arrives, shatters the network, and imprisons Gideon, Jace, and Nissa in torturous bonds seen in the card Remorseless Punishment. The trio are saved only by the late intervention of Chandra Nalar, whose conscience was eventually moved by Gideon's earlier words. And after the pyromancer liberates them, all four planeswalkers unite to confront the Eldrazi Titans. Only through combined power and coordinated effort can they hope to defeat Ulamog and Kozilek, whose broods drain the very land of its essence. Under Gideon's leadership, the four confront the Titans, bind them to Zendikar's powerful ley lines, and obliterate their physical forms, a monumental action highlighted in the illustrations of Bonds of Mortality and Fall of the Titans. With the Eldrazi's destruction, the Hordling broods wither, and Zendikar is spared from oblivion. The four planeswalkers are filled with grim determination, not just to hunt down and defeat the missing Emrakul, but to stand in defense of all the multiverse against its gravest threats. Uniting in common purpose, they can overcome all evil, a sentiment championed by Gideon and accepted by the others gathered. They form the Interplanar League known as the Gatewatch, each swearing a binding oath to come where aid is most dire. The oath of Gideon echoes his belief. The first challenge for the nascent Gatewatch brings them to the foreboding plane of Innistrad, where rumors spread of warped Cryptoliths channeling strange magic and horrors beyond even Innistrad's imagining slinking through the darkness. Mystery surrounds the plane that is ultimately dispelled with the arrival of Eldrazi Titan Emrakul, beckoned from beyond the blind eternities by the machinations of Core Lithomancer Nahiri. Suddenly, Innistrad is plunged in a gruesome existential battle as the Eldrazi's corrupting influence transforms many denizens into broodling horrors, and city streets are awash in blood and flame. The high city of Thraben stands as a last bastion of hope for Innistrad's beleaguered forces, led in defense by the Gatewatch Planeswalkers. Gideon's valiant efforts are displayed in the card Give No Ground, but even for a warrior as peerless as Jura, Emrakul's brood proves overwhelming. The art and flavor text of Emrakul's influence showcases their parlous situation. Hordes of Eldrazi and cultists swarmed over Thraben's defenses, and the members of the Gatewatch found themselves overrun. In their most dire hour, the Gatewatch is saved as countless legions of raving undead pour through Thraben's streets and do battle with the hordes. They are delivered from evil by the intervention of Black-aligned necromancer Liliana Vess. Vess is a deeply complex character with overlapping motives disguised by layers of deceit and self-interest. Her principles contrast greatly with Jura's own, and while at first they consider each other with reserved suspicion, their relationship will develop into significance for Gideon's overall story. Despite his mistrust, Gideon and Liliana work in tandem to coordinate Innistrad's defenses and protect the other walkers as they try to subdue the Titan. We see, in collective effort, Jura lead Liliana's undead legions and in deploy the Gatewatch, the pair struggle together. The flavor text reads, Gideon and Liliana may not have seen eye to eye, but that did not stop them from fighting side by side. Though the brood is dispersed, Emrakul herself lashes out and attacks the minds of the gathered walkers. Gideon is instantly brought to the tragic, defining moment of his life in which his hubris against Erebos killed all of his childhood friends. Met again with such nightmares, Gideon tries everything he can to spare his Gatewatch companions, but is hopeless to prevent their deaths. It's a dark stain on the man's heart. Ultimately, Gideon and the Gatewatch are released from Emrakul's thrall by the actions of Jace Bellerin, Nyssa, and Moon Sage Tamio, who imprisoned the Eldrazi Titan within Innistrad's moon. With the plane spared and the Gatewatch's first threat subdued, they induct Liliana Vess into their ranks against Gideon's grumblings and reconvene to assess other threats in the multiverse. Jura next appears on the plane of Kaladesh, home of invention and ingenuity, and birthplace of Chandra Nalar. The ruling consulate government has been infiltrated by the artificer planeswalker Tezzeret, an agent of Elder Dragon Nicol Bolas, and their oppressive regulations foment outright rebellion. The Gatewatch intervenes both for personal reasons held by some of its members and to thwart Tezzeret's ambition. The city of Ghirapur is a powder keg waiting to explode. The events that unfold on Kaladesh generate considerable friction for Gideon's relationships with both Chandra and Liliana. Nalar's impulsive nature and anarchist ways contend with Jura's high ideals of law and order. He sees the consulate as a just organization used by the corrupt for injustice, while Chandra blames the entire government for wrongdoings perpetrated against the plane and against herself. Though Gideon is ultimately won over to the Renegade's cause, he warns against arbitrarily imposing Gatewatch judgment on independent planes. Liliana's actions also stir Gideon's reproach. He sees her murder and mutilation of countless consulate forces during battle as an unwarranted abuse of power. The Necromancer's cruelty is laid bare and forces Jura to make difficult internal peace, supporting an ally who goes against values he holds dear. During the Aether Revolt, Gideon successfully rallies Renegade forces and uses his cunning to orchestrate widespread assault against consulate positions. The Gatewatch's primary goal, however, is to stop Tezzeret and his newly acquired planar bridge technology, a device that allows for the transport of inorganic material through a portal between planes. Such an artifact represents grave danger to the multiverse in hands as ruthless and conceited as Tezzeret's master. Gideon assists Chandra and the Renegades in directing a damaged Thopter, the Hope of Ghirapur, into the planar bridge, thus destroying it. Unfortunately, the artificer absconds with the planar technology integrated into his own metal body and retreats to find Nicol Bolas. In Revolt's aftermath, the Gatewatch must make a critical decision. The threat of the Elder Dragon looms dangerously on the horizon. Should they bide time, gather strength and allies, or should they lead a quick and secret attack directly on the Elder Dragon's seat of power and catch him unaware? A Johnny Goldmane, a Leonin planeswalker who joins the Gatewatch on Kaladesh, has had dealings with Bolas in the past and warns against reckless confrontation. The dragon is far more powerful than they can hope to contend. Against this caution, however, it's agreed they must try what they will to interrupt Bolas's schemes. Perhaps the nature of Nalaar rubs off on Jura, who is stirred to action. Gideon and the Gatewatch thus planeswalk to the desert realm of Amun-Ket, where lurks horror and pain beyond imagining. Jura feels on Amun-Ket a deep faith within him he had not known since the youthful days of Theros, before his actions slaughtered his friends. Like Theros, Amun-Ket has a pantheon of gods who inspire devotion, and here they physically walk among their flock. The wide-aligned god Oketra is the manifestation of stability, order, protection, all high ideals the Hieromancer holds dear. Her presence is awesome, and as Gideon approaches, she heralds him as one of her own, feeling his pure heart and speaking to him the name of a past self forgotten, Kithian Iora. Overwhelmed by belonging and comfort, Jura places his renewed faith within Oketra and pledges to undergo Amun-Ket's god trials. This spiritual revitalization is captured in the card's worship and renewed faith, the text of which goes on to read, "To see gods among the people, part of their daily lives, it's inspiring." But soon, the harsh truth of the god trials disabuses Jura of his blind devotion. While undergoing the trial of Bantu, black-aligned god of ambition, Gideon watches with disgust as his cropmates turn on one another, kill and betray in order to succeed in the test. The black mana notions of selfishness and desire conflict deeply with his own altruistic benevolence, and Jura resists. He's forcefully bound while other aspirants of the trial are killed before his eyes, which we see in the card Cruel Reality. As Gideon watched the initiate murder his cropmate, his admiration of the city of Noctamun gave way to horror. More dismay follows as Jura learns the fate of those who fail the god trials. Killed and embalmed, transformed into the undead servants known as the Anointed, on display in Anointed Procession. Even those that succeed in the god trials meet death at the tip of Hazoret's spear. Realization shocks Jura and indeed all of the Gatewatch back to reality. That Amun-Ket is a plane ruled by Nicol Bolas, its culture and religion shaped to worship him as the prophesized god Pharaoh, whose return will usher eternal paradise. They learn too late that Bolas, with the aid of 3 fallen and forgotten gods, aims to crush the city of Noctemoon beneath the relentless march of his Eternals. Lazarus plated zombies of fallen trial champions, resurrected from beyond death, and endowed with the ruthless skill they had cultivated in life. The foretold recounting of hours brings not salvation, but destruction, as Nicol Bolas levels Noctemoon. The Gatewatch springs to action. They fight on sand and in city to save as many as they can from eternal hordes. Even the gods, even Oketra, the one who reawakened Gideon's inner self, succumb to Bolas's machinations. The planeswalkers are helpless to resist. Their final gambit? To attack the Elder Dragon directly with combined force, highlighted in the illustration of Hour of Devastation, whose flavor text reads, "Everything here exists or perishes at my whim, including you, Gatewatch." Gideon charges into Dragonfire, wrapped in his invulnerable aura and with Cyril flailing. United, they stand against Bolas, but one by one, he defeats them. The Elder Dragon shatters Jura's Cyril and even pierces his invincibility, the tragic moment displayed in the art and flavor text of Gideon's defeat. Gideon, how easy it must be to play the protector when you think yourself untouchable. How wrong you are. The Gatewatch scatters after the rout on Amonkhet. Their morale and faith evaporated beneath the heat of Nicol Bolas' power. Gideon Jura bear serious wounds as they regroup on the plain of Dominaria. But with Jace missing, Chandra and Nyssa leaving to pursue their own ends, Gideon is left in Liliana Vess's care. Once a potent healer, the necromancer administers Gideon's wounds, and their time together on Dominaria helps to establish between them a deeper understanding and a stronger connection. Gideon sees now in Liliana one bound by infernal contracts, imprisoned by greed and self-loathing, but one whose heart is not yet beyond redemption. Despite her many deceptions and manipulations, Jura believes good can still come of Vess. The demon Belzenlok, one of Liliana's contract bearers and therefore owner of her soul, resides on Dominaria, and the necromancer sways Gideon to assist her in his defeat. Jura is convinced that only by his destruction and the dissolution of her contract can Liliana's true power be restored before they confront Nicol Bolas for a second time. The pair cross paths with the crew of legendary skyship Weatherlight, noble allies in the fight against Belzenlok and his sinister Cabal organization. This union is illustrated in the card board The Weatherlight. Aboard the skyship, the planeswalkers learn the existence of a mythical and ancient weapon, a soul drinker of ages past forged in death and darkness, known as the Black Blade. It came into Belzenlok's possession some time ago and is stored in the Cabal's vaults. The heroes devise a plan for Gideon to steal the blade and use it against Belzenlok in combat. Jura's wish is soon granted as he comes face to face with the demon in the Cabal fighting pits. This we see in the illustration of Path to Exile. But Belzenlok proves too much for even a warrior as skilled as Gideon. Only with the assistance of Liliana is the demon defeated. The pair sink the Black Blade into his flesh, and Belzenlok's soul is consumed, illustrated in the card Settle the Score. Liliana is finally freed from her contract, its binding magic broken forever. Or, so it's thought. No room is there for celebration. Out of the mists appears the Elder Dragon Nicol Bolas, who reveals that should Vess's contract default for any reason, its binding power would defer to him. Now in control of her soul, he demands her obedience and assistance with grim preparations that will shake the entire multiverse. In Bolas's clutches shows a despondent Liliana leaving Gideon behind to serve another terrible master. Jura has but one consolation. He still possesses the Black Blade, and though he failed to defeat Bolas once, Perhaps with its power, he may yet succeed. With Searle shattered but hope renewed, Jura becomes Gideon Blackblade, the faith for his victory heard in the weapon's flavor text. It spilled the blood of one elder dragon. In Gideon's hands, it may yet taste another's. We next find the Hyromancer alongside all members of the reunited Gatewatch and hundreds of other planeswalkers as Nicol Bolas' decades-long designs come to a climactic head in the War of the Spark. The Elder Dragon intends to consume dozens of planeswalker sparks to fuel his Elder spell, which will grant him the godlike power that was stripped during the events of the Great Mending. His army of Eternals pour forth from the planar portal and are led, to Gideon's dismay, by Liliana. Her life is tied to her service, and her necromancy coordinates the zombie Eternals better than any could. Chaos swallows Ravnica. Jura puts himself forward as a peerless general to coordinate Ravnican forces and to inspire the masses. We see just how effective the man is in the face of overwhelming danger in cards like Pledge of Unity and Gideon's battle cry. In the conflict, Gideon takes responsibility for ending the Elder Dragon before he can complete his spell. With Blackblade in hand and borne atop a noble Pegasus, Jura soars to the Energy Nexus. He's shot down, however, by the god Eternal Oketra, the one god in whom Gideon pledged service and in whom he found new purpose, dashes Jura's hopes as an undead god Eternal. In free fall, Gideon is saved by the guild parent and demon, Rakdos, who bears him toward doom. Jura launches himself at the Elder Dragon, brandishing the Soul Drinker, the hope of the multiverse held in his hands. We see and hear the enormity of the moment in desperate lunge. Ravnica held its breath as the hero of the resistance, their last hope, flew through the sky, his dark sword ready to strike a god. Unfortunately, Bolas foresaw all possible weapons against him and long ago enchanted the blade to shatter if ever used on his person. All hope evaporates from Ravnica. Unyielding Eternals ravage the city, sparks are gathered, and Bolas' spell nears completion. Gideon Jura, the hero of countless planes whose conviction, skill, and faith had won him glory and spared thousands, has no choice but to suffer defeat. Just then, something transpires not even the all-seeing God Pharaoh could have predicted. Liliana Vess, the duplicitous, self-serving necromancer, turns on her master. She commands the Eternals against Bolas in defiance, a betrayal that seals her doom, for he invokes the binding magic of her contract. Jura was right. Hidden within Liliana, there is a spark of goodness beneath the arrogance that ignited with his belief and his companionship. Liliana accepts her fate, knowing that more lives and more futures will be spared by her sacrifice. This we see and hear in Price of Betrayal. The moment Liliana defied Nicol Bolas, her contract was broken and her life was forfeit. But she was free to choose her fate, and she decided it was worth the price. One surprise still remains, this time on Gideon's part. The Hyromancer uses his lawful and binding magic to transfer the consequences of Liliana's contract onto himself. Jura bears the full brunt of the demonic contract. His motives have various interpretations. As a soldier and champion, he can't stand idly while a companion is slain. Out of heroism, he's moved to action. As a person, Gideon saw bright flashes of a strong character emerge from the darkness of Liliana Vess. Perhaps he sees in her great potential and wishes to save her from oblivion. Regardless of intent, Jura takes responsibility of Vess's betrayal, which we see in the card Gideon's Sacrifice, the flavor text of which reads, "To Liliana's surprise, the cost of betraying Bolas did not fall on her." Gideon's invulnerability isn't enough to spare his body, and as his sole phrase, the Gatewatch loses its charismatic voice for justice across the multiverse. Jura's anguish is short-lived. As he lies in his death throes, he witnesses visions of his past self and of his close friends from Theros. He's reunited in spirit, if not reality, with his irregulars as Kithi and Eora. His remorse for their death finally leaves in his last moments, highlighted in the card Heartwarming Redemption. Kithian had known war every day of his life. Now he finally knew peace. But what of Gideon Jura's legacy? Liliana is haunted by his sacrifice. She feels immense guilt over his death and ruminates on her mistakes while tutoring mages at Strixhaven University under the pseudonym of Professor Onyx. In the card Confront the Past, we see remorse eat away at Liliana, who seeks the dark necromancy of Elder Dragon Belladros Witherbloom in an attempt to resurrect Jura. But such magic cannot bring back the soul. Gideon is beyond return. It remains to be seen if Liliana will embrace aspects of Gideon's own persona, if she will fulfill the vision he seems to have had for her. I think it'd be fitting if she appeared as a black and white aligned character the next time she makes a printing. Gideon's armor is brought to his home plane of Theros, where a statue is erected in memorial. The hoplites and warriors of Akros remember fondly the legendary stories of Kithi and Eora and his heroism. A disciple of his memory is found in Taranika, a Kroan veteran. I like to think Kithian keeps watch over all of us. None mourn more so than the Gatewatch, now deprived of their brilliant beacon. Gideon Jura's watch is ended. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Let me know your thoughts on Gideon Jura. Which characteristics or actions ring the loudest in his story, as well as your own insights and suggestions for future videos in the comments below. And if you're a fan of lore and storytelling, be sure to subscribe to the channel, check out the podcast where content is uploaded frequently. I want to thank my amazing supporters over on Patreon, who make all of this possible, and I couldn't do it without their fantastic support. If you'd like to become a lore luminary for access to me, a great community, written scripts, and early video drops, head to patreon.com/thelorebrarians to learn more. Until next time, go forth and explore the lore.